Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, howdy, howdy. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 47. Always, always a lot going on here at Good Things Radio. And today, a special treat. We've got Linda Isaiah in studio. I'll explain who she is and her amazing ministry. Also, I have a big red countdown clock right here in the studio, and it's showing that the days are now in the single digits until our Good Things Radio retreat. I cannot believe it's here. The months of praying and discerning and then doing it and then people saying yes that they want to come, and now here it is, just days away. So for those that aren't going this year, thank you for your support, your encouragement, and your prayers. And those that are, I cannot wait to meet you. So we're going to touch on that a little bit. And again, my friend Linda Isaiah is an amazing woman. She's one of those people that can bring tears of laughter and also of inspiration to your eyes. And when you leave, like, have you laughed so hard that your smile hurts? That's what she does and just is hilarious. So she's going to be joining us on the show to talk about LCI Ministries. That's her apostolate that she received from the Lord. And she talks a lot about healing for women and guys, but how to nurture our hearts and to strengthen our soul. And she also has a great event to tell you about as well. So right now, let's join in prayer, united together as we lift up our hearts to the healer and reset for the day. Dear Heavenly Father, you have said, I come into this world for judgment so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. We thank you for the ways that you correct and console and heal us. You give us all we need for the journey of our lives, and in times that we forget or we lose faith, you are so patient, loving Father, as you wait for us and you pick us up and you bring us to yourself. Help us to trust you with our senses, our heart, and every hill and valley of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we jump into the interview with Linda, I have to point out, I can't believe it, it just struck me that we are coming up on March. So just a few couple fun facts about the month of March. 3.14159265358973238462643383279. March 14th is... All right, come on and say it with me, my mathematically inclined friends. It's International Pi Day. It is the symbol used in mathematics to represent a constant. It's the ratio of the circumference of a circle to its diameter, which is approximately 3.14159. And it actually has been calculated to over a trillion digits beyond its decimal point as an irrational and transcendental number. It'll continue infinitely without repetition or pattern. Only a handful of digits are needed for typical calculations. Pi's infinite nature makes it a fun challenge to memorize. I know a lot of kids do that, and it's fun to hear because it feels good when you can memorize that and to calculate more and more digits. So that's coming up. Oh, but I jumped ahead. March 9th, we spring ahead and we move our clocks up 1 hour. And that'll be interesting because this is actually Saturday night into Sunday at the retreat. So hopefully we will all remember that we need to do this so we're not missing flights and mass and everything else. But that's a big sign of spring. So that's a good thing. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
The story of St. Patrick's Day began so long ago. The lyrics in this song will tell you all you need to know. The 17th of March is when this joyous holiday is celebrated happily with colorful parades.
Oh, I love St. Patty's Day. I really like the shamrock shakes. But, you know, and everybody just likes to try the old Irish accent at that time, too. But because St. Patrick is such an amazing saint. I just love the opportunity every year to retell the story and to get the kids involved, because it really is. He's captured by pirates, he escapes, but then he comes back to evangelize this place that had a lot of bad memories for him. And not only did he do that, but he reached far beyond what he ever, well, what the Lord, you know, set out for him to do with his yes, and reached so many people, so many souls, and converted a whole country. So that's another awesome thing coming up in March. Also, March 19th, it's the Feast of St. Joseph. We know St. Joseph. We love St. Joseph. In fact, the entire month in the church is called the month of St. Joseph. It's dedicated to him. And then, of course, at the end of the month, we observe the Paschal Triduum. That is the 3 days that begin with the liturgy on the evening of Maundy Thursday, the Vigil of Good Friday, and ends with evening prayer on Easter Sunday. And it is such a time of anticipation. Every year, I feel like I love Easter a little bit more, because especially if you have an Easter, or a Lent, I should say, that is really strict, and it's like you just can't wait. It's like the sun comes out, but also at the same time, you know, hopefully you see that you've grown, and you've grown in your faith, and it's just such a special time, and I think for the kids as well. So that's coming up this month too. So there's a lot of goodies. God bless you as you go ahead in the month of March, and especially as it culminates in this amazing exclamation point of Easter and Resurrection Sunday. It's going to be special. And speaking of special, today on the program, I am joined by one of the most beautiful people I have had the chance to call friend. And I really mean that. You never know where the Lord is going to take you on your journey and who you'll meet along the way, especially in the social media world, because the world has gotten so small. Mm-hmm. But this guest and I, coming up on the program, had a chance to meet 6, 7, 8 years ago. It was an event that... I was an MC. She was a speaker. Mm-hmm. She was one of the most powerful orators I've ever heard, and I would say even since, and with a powerful story to hear. And maybe you've heard that phrase, turning misery into ministry. Mm-hmm. And she's done that, healing women around the world with a powerful testimony. We are honored to have her in the studio, in the basement today.
Yes.
And that is my friend Linda. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Brooke. Glad to be here. Excited about the next hour or 30 minutes or whatever we're going to spend together.
Well, and that's the thing. It's impossible to do your story justice in just a brief interview segment. Uh-huh. But I want to introduce you to the listeners in a way that will really kind of open you up to who you are and what you do, how you minister. Mm-hmm. I know that you are the only girl of 7 boys in your family growing up.
Yes.
But take it from there. Talk a little bit, if you would, about your upbringing, your faith, and where you are today.
Well, being raised in a man's world, that's what I would call it, because my mom was pretty passive and my dad was pretty aggressive. Of course, he had to be with 7 boys. People think I was spoiled, but I wasn't spoiled. I had to roll with the punches. Mm-hmm. Whatever the guys did, I had to do. And my dad was an alcoholic and my mom was a Christian. So there were hard times for us as a family. It wasn't always good. Wasn't a lot of positive conversation or positive thinking in our home, because my dad, because of his alcoholism, he was always so angry. He just seemed to be so angry all the time. My mom was the saving factor, because she was, as they say, a soft place to land for all of us. And I don't regret my childhood. I thank God for it. As a result of it, it's made me who I am today. I accepted Christ when I was 8 years old.
Wow. And you've never left him since?
No, I have never left him since. Went to college, always was faithful in what I believe God wanted me to do. You know, Brooke, I always felt like if I had been Catholic, I'd have been a nun. Really? Yeah. Because I felt like God had something special for me, and that I couldn't do what other girls did. That I didn't understand it, but I just knew that I couldn't do like other people, that there was something special that God had for me.
Well, what kept you strong in your faith with the Lord, in your prayer life, during the hard times?
Probably what kept me strong was I had a good foundation. I had my mom. I had the woman who led me to the Lord, Aunt Jeanette and Ma Matthew. So we went to Vacation Bible School, and they had Bible class after church, and also during the week. And I would go to that Child Evangelism Fellowship. I'm trying to think of the name. Child Evangelism Fellowship. I used to help teach that. And so that kept me grounded. So I was somewhat discipled. Always was in church, always focused, and I really believed that God was going to deliver, even in the midst of horrendous things that were going on in the house. I just felt like God was going to take care of it, and I just believed that.
So it sounds like through it all, God has given you the gift of hope.
Yes.
That's never left.
That's my word, hope.
In your ministry, and I've seen this firsthand, but I also saw an interview that you talked about after conferences and the way that you speak and minister to women, there always seems to be a line of ladies that are
yes.
forgotten about, and those are the ones you go to. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely, I do. I believe that I am called to interact and help women navigate the practicality of the Word of God on a daily basis. So when I minister, my ministry is on a platform, but it is more so when I step off that platform. I make myself available to speak to every woman who wants to speak to me, to pray for them, to lay hands on them, because all they need is somebody to tell them it's going to be all right. You have got to stay focused, give them some direction, some ideas, and they leave feeling hopeful. They come to conferences because they're looking for answers to life's problems. And I believe that we, as speakers, ought to have some answers for them. A word of hope that when you go back home, God's going to work that thing out. You might have to do some things, but God, and to use my own life as an open book to say he's did it for me, and he's not a person. He's not a God that has preferential treatment. He does it for all of us. You know?
Amen. He yeah. does, and I think we need to be reminded of that sometimes, and you're a yeah. powerful testimony and voice of truth in that. You mentioned laying on hands, and you, in a wonderful talk I had a chance to hear, talked about the importance of doing that with our children.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think about the moms who are homeschooling and those who are not homeschooling but are at home with their children and those who are working outside of their home. The most important thing that you can do is pray over your child. I pray over my son. I lay hands on him. Sometimes he's 13. He don't want me to touch him, but that's all right. When he go to sleep, I touch him. And I get anointing oil, and I anoint him with oil, and I pray over him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And I ask God to bless his tongue so that he says words of peace. He says words of peace. Lord, keep his mind so it stayed on him. Give him hands of healing and comfort. And I pray over him all the time. Sometimes I pray over his socks, over his shoes, so that he's walking in the direction that God wants him to walk mm-hmm. in. And so when women, when moms feel overwhelmed with all the chores and all the things of life with their children, stop. Instead of fussing at them, pray over them.
Amen. Even if they don't want you to touch him.
Just, even if they yeah. don't want you to touch him.
Even especially them.
Right. But you just wait until they go to sleep and yeah. you go by that room anyway.
Yeah.
On the way to the bathroom or whatever. And you just get a little oil and just put it mm-hmm. on bottom of their feet. Just touch him. Say, Lord, just bless my child. Watch over him. Give him good direction. He gets good friends. So you don't always have to say, you know, I don't think that's the right friend for you. No, pray over that.
Yeah. I love it.
You know?
And it's a silent power, much like motherhood, you know,
yeah.
and how the sun rises every day mm-hmm. and it's just there. And that is the gift of motherhood, as long as it's, you know, it can be tiring and frustrating,
yes.
But it is it's so important.
It's extremely important.
You, born in Waynesburg, a very small town,
yeah.
then by God's grace and the Holy Spirit, were sent everywhere from Ireland to Africa. and I had the blessed opportunity to look at your pictures from Africa. Can you talk about that experience?
Oh,
how did that come to be?
Africa, Africa. You know, the Bible says in Psalms, I think it is 37, that God, or 27 maybe, God will give you the desires of your heart. And if you study that scripture, it means the things that you've not even spoken out of your mouth, they're just desires. And you just don't even want to tell God about it because you just don't believe it's going to happen. So I had a desire to go to South Africa. And a very good friend of mine, Jan Silvius, heard me say it at my own conference, walking out after the conference, or we're just walking down the hall. And I just said, you know, I want to go to South Africa. And she looked at me with that accent from Chattanooga and said, really? You really want to go? Maybe God can open up a door for that. And I was like, okay. Next thing I know, I get an invitation that they've asked me to come to speak in South Africa. The experience was amazing. It was overwhelming being an African-American woman and going to a place where I saw my own people and I saw so many of them in pain and suffering in 2016 in a world that and that they have nothing. I mean, some of them have, when I say nothing, nothing. And I just thought about how blessed I was. I even came home. I stopped wearing my jewelry. I stopped doing certain things because it didn't mean anything to me anymore. Because these people were suffering so. But yet, on the other hand, I had the opportunity to speak hope because I knew our time's up. But when I was in South Africa and I was in my hotel room and I saw the pain of the people, I asked God, I said, God, do you really, really love these people? How can they be suffering like this? And he said, Linda, the scripture says, for God so loved the world. Now, because you haven't seen it, it's not my fault. I still love everybody and I love this world. And your job is to give them hope. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did at that conference. I said, I want to give all the hope I can in whatever situation they're in. And I believe I stood in line for an hour after I had spoke just to pray for people. It was amazing.
Well, as you listen to the hearts of these beautiful men and women and children, and also here in America, do you see some common threads across the board, whatever social status or faith tradition or color or age, that are deep in the heart of women that need to be healing no matter where you are?
Yes, I thought about that. What I see is that women, they lack self-esteem. They lack self-esteem because they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know that they're redeemed. They don't know that they're made in His image. They don't know that they're the head and not the tail. You know, that they're above and not beneath. They don't know that. So they look at me and other women, maybe you, they look at you, Brooke, and they say, oh, I wish I had that. God couldn't use me. No, God has a destiny for you too. He has a purpose for you too. Doesn't care what you, where you've been, who you've done it with. He still has a purpose for your life. And that's the theme. And that's what I see. They don't feel like, they feel hopeless. Like, I'm not a good enough mother. I'm not a good enough wife. I'm not a good enough co-worker. I'm not a good enough friend. You are. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that is what, that's the message of hope that I give.
And it's interesting because you see spiritual warfare in that internally. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, the tactics of the enemy, defeat and doubt and delay. And, you know, all these ways that we, in our minds, negatively portray ourselves. And God is more merciful to us than so often we are to ourselves.
Absolutely.
So that hope comes back to that. So important.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
It's funny as you talk about the deep desires of your heart and the Lord knows. Mm. But sometimes He knows before you do. Like, you were sent to Ireland on a surprise.
Oh,
last
yeah.
year. So
Ireland. Well, Miss Brooke, see, God links you with the people that He wants you to be with. When I met Brooke at the Kalahari, it's been, my son is 13, so it's been about 10 years ago, about 10 years ago, and I met Brooke. I never, ever knew that we would have a relationship, but God just knitted our hearts together, and as a result of that, when she was not able to go to Ireland, and she texted me on a Monday while I'm in my office studying, and I'm like, what? Do I want to go to Ireland? And I'm like, when and where and where is Ireland? And what is this about? Well, you need, but this is the thing, Linda. You need to be ready to go on Sunday, and today is Monday, and you need to be packed and
passport
and get everything together. So that's how Ireland happened, and Ireland was amazing for me because I wrote so many notes, and I can remember one particular note, and God was saying to me, Linda, don't judge people. And I wrote it down, and when I went to Mass, the father got up. It wasn't Father Jay, it was another father. And he speaked on judging other people.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there with my mouth open, judging other people. People are different than you. That's okay. And I was just writing. So I saw so many elements. I saw the Irish people who had struggled and been ill-treated. So I could identify with that pain and that suffering. But yet, they overcame. And so it was a great experience. I think about it often. I lay in the bed. I think about it. I close my eyes. I can see some of the lovely places Joan and I stayed at and some of the wonderful food we ate and some of the wonderful conversations that we had.
Well, I just think it's such a beautiful reminder that life is a great adventure. It's a pilgrimage and these hills and valleys that we go through. But the Lord is always there to bless us.
Yes.
And I know that's really part of also your ministry is providing hope and that reminder of his faithfulness to women. Could you talk about your ministry?
Yes, my ministry at my church right now, the House of the Lord, I'm really involved in comfort care ministry with the bereaved, helping with funerals and things like that. I believe God is moving me in that direction. And believe it or not, I know you shouldn't say you enjoy it, but I do enjoy helping others as they struggle through grief. I'm a certified grief recovery specialist, so that's where I'm focused in at church. But I've started a ministry called LCI Ministries for Women, Unleashed Hope. The ministry is about bringing women together of all walks of life and being able to give them a direction of hope of all ages. I don't care if you're 60, 70, God still, as long as you have breath, he's got something for you to do. Mm-hmm. Don't retire. Retire. You never retire from the kingdom. You might retire from that little job you got, right, but you don't retire from the kingdom. There's always work to be done. So that's what the ministry is about. We have wonderful singing. I speak. And this year we have Brooke speaking. I'm so excited.
I'm nervous.
Oh, we'll be nervous. The ladies are going to love you. And Bishop's going to come. And we're going to have communion. And we're going to eat together.
Give the info about the conference.
Okay. The conference is going to be March 19th at Sawmill in Huron, Ohio. And it is from 9 to 4 o'clock. We will have something for you for breakfast. And we'll have a lunch, a lovely lunch together. And there'll be three speakers. And that's myself, Linda Isaiah, Brooke. Brooke Taylor and Bishop Johnson. And we also have two workshops this year. One is What's Love Got to Do With It? And the other one is Loving Those You'd Rather Not.
So, boy, that's good.
Yes, the theme is Love is the Key, out of Mark. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, body, and basically the sum of who you are. Because I do believe that one of the things that we are lacking in America and in our churches is love for one another. We don't even respect each other. There's no civility in America anymore. We just don't know how to even be kind.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had an extensive conversation off the air about, and, you know, talking about the election and Lord help our country. But I think that is a huge component of that respect and true selfless love and service, wanting to serve one another. I want to wash your feet. You know, we don't see that. It's what can you do for me?
Yeah,
and so I think that theme is providential.
Yes.
It's really important. So how can we get tickets?
You can get tickets. You can get on my website, which is lciministries.org. And you can see the whole layout and you can order your ticket on there. It is $60 for the day. Or you can contact me on my email, ccomforter3@yahoo.com, if you would like information. And if you get on the website, you'll see a phone number down there where you can call Miss Doretha Pendleton and she'll get back with you if you have any information.
That's good.
And we'll link that up in our show notes,
yes,
too.
Okay.
So in your website is lciministries.org, right?
Yes.
While I have you, I'm just going to pull out as much as I can since I got you here next to me. I want to ask you a little bit about the grief counseling, because what I realized in walking through with several friends this year who have gone through difficult times in their marriage, divorces, many different combination of circumstances that have been very traumatic, is I never realized before how much a divorce is like a death, where you are mourning the loss of a life that you thought that you expected. It's a grief process. You have to reset, readjust. In some ways, I felt that a little bit when we received, you know, the diagnosis about our daughter, that this life that we expected just wasn't to be. And that is all for God's glory, and he'll use and we praise him. But in terms of then what you see from officiating funerals and walking through people who have lost loved ones, what hope can you offer to someone who is really struggling with that reality right now?
Well, let me say about loss. A loss is can be anything from the loss of an animal to the loss of $5,000. It is if there's been a change in behavior or circumstances, that's a loss. You had your daughter, you brought your daughter home, you had expectations for her, and you look back and you wish things would have been different, better, and more. You wish things were different. That creates grief for you because they're not different. Okay. And the same thing with a divorce, and the pain with a divorce is different than a death, even though it's symbolic of death. But the divorce is that you still see the father. So it's called a complicated grief then, because you have to keep grieving over and over again about that mm-hmm. situation. But as I deal with people who've lost loved ones who have died, and we use the word a death, we say someone has died, not somebody's passed away, because we don't want to deal with the reality. Nobody's passed away. They have died. Most of them are in shock, and they have never even don't understand the concept of grief. And so what they do is what we call STERBS, short-term energy relieving behavior. They act it out sideways, be it eating too much, drinking too much, being controlling, whatever their issue is, because they don't know how to process the change of the behavior and the circumstances around them, because that person's not here anymore. If you're a woman and you're going through a divorce, your whole world is turned upside down. What you thought was going to be is not. How do you process that? No woman gets married to get divorced.
Right.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
And when you're faced with that, it is a grief. And then you have the grief of, you know, my children are going to have their father in the home. Your economics are going to change. That's a grief. Now your status has changed. That's a grief, because now you're single. And depending on what church you go to, what do they do with me now? Depending on my friends who I used to hang out with that were couples, now I'm single.
Well, that's a great point, because, you know, how do we minister? And I think for friends, and I see it myself, where some people, they're afraid to ask about Carolina because they know it's a sore subject, so they never do, and that's hurtful. Or,
yeah.
You know, and so how do you, as a friend, come alongside those, whether it's a widow that you know or someone that's gone through a divorce, and kind of have a sweet spot? And maybe there isn't one. Maybe that's not, you know, and that's for the Holy Spirit to fill in those gaps in God's grace. But how do we, as friends, best minister to those in that stage of grief?
Well, I think there's a word we use, I think in the Jewish faith, is called sit shiva. And that is, some of the best things that you can do is nothing but be there, be present. When a person is grieving, they want your presence. They might not want your advice. They might not want you to pray. They just want you there. And the best thing I think you can do for a girlfriend who's going through a divorce is to be present. The best thing they can do for you is to be present. It's just to say, hey, can we go out for coffee? Hey, I'll come over to the house. Maybe we can have coffee. And to see your world and be a part of your world, not to judge it, not to try to fix it, because that's what we try to do. We want to fix people. We want it to get better so we can move on. Some things we can't fix. Some things are the way they are. And the best thing you can do is have a girlfriend like Brooke and Linda so that you can cry and grieve over the fact that your daughter, the things aren't working out like you thought they were going to work out, but yet say God is still good.
Yeah. And that powerful component of listening.
Yes.
As a friend, and hope to
yes.
be able to speak that, to speak life into your friend. Okay, and then one more question before mm-hmm. we wrap up, because I'm thinking about the state of our nation, where we are. We're talking a little bit about culture and fractured families. For you, in the ministry that you see of every day across the world, mm-hmm. reaching women in particular, but families and of all ages, when you look at our culture, what are some issues as parents that we can work on that you think are kind of silently infiltrating our families?
That's a good question. When I think about my own situation, which is different probably than many of my listeners, and that my son is with us on the weekends, what I try to do is I want to be a voice of reasoning for my son. And one of the things I challenged the ladies at the Image of God conference last year is that you can't sit there and act like your children aren't going to be going to be impacted by the killings and the things that are going on in the Black community. As a Christian woman, number one, you need to be speaking truth to your children and teaching them that you ought to obey the police, certain things ought to be a certain way, and that some things are actually unlawful. They should not be happening. So I teach my son, you don't wear a hoodie in public. Take that off your head. But on the other hand, you respect authority and you do what you say. And yet then there are no guarantees that you won't get shot. Okay? But you put yourself around safe people. You keep putting one foot in front of the other. But I think as Christian moms, we have to be diligent enough to understand, to read the news and teach our children the truth of what's going on in this world. The world isn't safe for anybody right now, more or less black boys, white boys. It's not safe. And we need to stop living our lives like we're outside, like we're in a bubble, and it's not impacting us. We can see with this election that it's going to impact everybody.
Yeah.
We're all in it. You know, as LeBron, as they say at the CAB, we're all in. Whether you want to be all in or not, you're all in. So my thing for my home is we talk very openly and very realistically, and we have all kinds of cultures in our house, and we introduce our son all the way across the board to black folk, white folk, purple folk. It doesn't matter. People are people.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to teach our children.
Well, and I think that's the beauty
and
of...
And you do that.
Yeah, but that's, I think... You know, it comes through, and it's interesting because me being an introvert would like nothing more than just to be a mother monk and be in my house and never leave. But I think the more that the Lord brings souls into your life, the more you see how beautiful hearts are and how important it is of any, you know, ability or disability or color or age to really seek the heart of the person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not easy, but sometimes it's a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. And, So I thank you. I thank you for that perspective and also the importance of, you know, and I talk about this too, that today as mothers, we are not just, or Christians in general.
That's right.
We are not just
Christians
and believers and moms and dads. We're soldiers.
That's right.
And that really this is a battle for the spirit.
And you're going, as I told them, image of God, you're going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
You're going to be held accountable. And see, this is the other thing, Brooke. Our families look to us. They look to us for information, for advice, what we see out there. And we need to be careful about what's coming out of our mouth and how we're acting towards people who are different than us. And I challenged them. I said, you just need to be careful and you're going to be held accountable for whatever things that you've said to your children and how they walk it out.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Well, I hope you'll be on the show again.
I want to be.
And when you start your own podcast,
yes,
we'll share that with the listeners. So one more time, plug your website, your ministry, and
okay,
give us the dates and info of the conference so that we can sign up.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I'm already signed
up.
Everybody
signed up. That's right. The conference is March 19, 2016 at Sawmill Resort in Huron, Ohio. It is from 9 to 4 o'clock. It is $60. And I know some people say, ugh, just for a day, but it is a wonderful, fun, packed day. Yeah. And we're going to have a little something for breakfast and a nice lunch together. Some great speakers. Brooke's going to be there. I'll be there. Bishop will be there. Some dynamic singing and great fellowship with women. So you can reach me at lciministries.org or ccomforter3@yahoo.com. And if you email me, I'm going to get back to you. 24 hours. You won't have to worry about it.
Good.
All righty.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Wow. Well, thank you again to my friend Linda Isaiah. Thank you, friends, for joining me for episode of number 47 of Good Things Radio as we close in prayer, if you join me. Merciful God, we thank you so much for the gift of Linda, her amazing faith, her gift of inspiring others. We pray that you may use all of us, each one of us, to testify to the truth of who you are, of what you've done in our lives, wherever we are. We pray for peace and strength in our journeys and praise you for the infinite blessings you give so freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, thank you again for being a part of Good Things Radio. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studio for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. And in fact, a friend of mine reached out and said, you know, we're working on a project for our homeschool co-op. We might want to do a CD. Could Mark do it? Is he able? Yes, he does amazing projects. So I encourage you to reach out, check him out at cumminghomestudios.com. And if you'd be so kind, we humbly ask that you leave a review on iTunes, hopefully a good one. But that also tells others about the show as well. Easy ways to find us too, to tell others about Good Things Radio. If you think it's worth spreading, you can go to goodthingsradio.com, and you can also go to iTunes. Again, hit subscribe. You'll get all the new episodes. Podbean.com is what I use. You can become a patron and support the show that way. Also download the app, and all of the new episodes will go right into your push notifications and tell you when there's a new show out. Thank you so much for being a part of episode number 46 of Good Things Radio, and thank you to my special guest, Linda Isaiah. Until next time, friends, God bless you.